Today we're going to do something we did last year, and it's actually one of my favorite days of the year. How many know the Bible says that God has put the word down in your heart? Remember the little song? He put the joy in my where? Down in my heart. Remember that little song? If you didn't, you should have gone to Sunday school. And about a year or two ago, I got thinking, I knew a lot of you guys and members of our congregation at various stages in your walk with God who I'd had conversations with, and you don't know this, you may not be aware of this, but sometimes when we're just having a conversation and you're telling me about what God's done in your life and you mentioned, hey, I like this scripture, I read this, I thought about that, my wife and I prayed about this, that it jumped something in my heart, that you actually ministered to me. And the thought occurred to me, I'm being kind of selfish because I should give these guys a chance to share what God's done in their lives. So last year we started what we called Five for Five. And that means we're going to have five people today share five different words that I believe God, through His Holy Spirit and the way only God does it, He somehow weaves them all into one word that I believe will impact your life today. So we're going to have five people this year come up and again do the 5 minutes. You won't see their clock, but they actually have a clock on the back wall. And I told them if they go too long, we're just going to set off a buzzer and a tone like the old gong show and yank them off. But I truly believe if you'll open your hearts, take notes, and kind of lean in a little extra today, and I'm going to do it right here with you, that God will show you something very deep and profound and life-changing today. Amen? With that, I want to bring up our first speaker. You may not know him because he's new to these parts. Actually, he's been around a while. I actually met Andrew 7-8 years ago in Statesboro. He walked into our college ministry. I said, hey, I know somebody you should meet. Her name is Lauren Meyerhofer. And then now they're married and hopefully on the way to have lots of kids and help grow the church. Lauren's not in here, so she can't fuss at me. It'll get Andrew embarrassed. Anyway, he's a great guy, and I know he's got a great word. So why don't we give another good hand to Andrew Amoson.
Good morning. And Clint, it was 9 years ago, just so you know. It's been a while. You're old. So as Clint said, I've been here for about 9 years, off and on in Believers and stuff like that. And when Clint asked me to do the Five for Five, my first thought was absolutely no way. Because, as everybody else knows, I like to be up there doing the sound and don't like to be up here. But, you know, as I was thinking about it and praying about what to say, you know, when God gives you an opportunity like this to work through you, you really need to go for it. So I'm going to go and do it, and we'll see how it goes. So I'm going to go and lead off with my verse. So my verse is Matthew 4:18-22 in the Message. And it's when Jesus was walking along the beach of the Lake of Galilee, I can't talk today, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake, and it was their regular work. Jesus said to them, come with me, and I will make you new kinds of fishermen out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. And they didn't ask questions, but they simply dropped their nets and followed. So that really just kind of struck me because, you know, I think a lot of times when Jesus asks us to do something, you're like, you know, I really am not in a good place to be doing this right now. You know, I'm not perfect. I mess up. I'm human. And but the disciples really weren't perfect either. I mean, they were fishermen, normal guys, and I don't know anyone who knows fishermen, but I grew up on the coast in a fishing town. They're pretty rough around the edges. So I just thought that was really cool how he just picked these normal guys and said, you know, I'm going to make you the apostles of what's going to be my church. So it's really cool how God, to me, even when you don't feel like you're in a place where God can use you, it might be exactly where he wants you to be. Because it gives them something to build on. And then another just a quick example was of Gideon. And so this is actually in Judges. So the angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, that whatever his name is. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine vat in order to hide from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So the first time I read this, I kind of laughed because he's literally hiding from the Midianites. He's too scared to do this where they would normally do this. So he's hiding in a wine vat, which is just a big pit, threshing the wheat. So it's another example of God just picking someone who you would never pick to become a general of his army. He literally was someone hiding, not even willing to be out in the open because he was so afraid. And so I really like this because God sees us through our failures. Gideon was hiding from the Midianites, but God saw how he would be when he followed him and not who he was. So even when you're feeling like you've already messed up, God can still work through that mess. And so for this, and this is why I believe it's so important for God, for you to let God to take you out of your comfort zone. And even though, you know, your comfort zone's called that for a reason, it's when you do step out and do those different things, that's really part of when God can use you and use that obedience. So I have a couple of quick examples that kind of struck me and what I thought about when I was thinking about this. So one was, just, you know, just if you're in grocery line, sometimes God will just tell you to pay for somebody's groceries. And you don't really want to do that because you're like, you know, I got this much for my budget and she's got a lot of groceries, but you have no idea how that can bless someone. Another one that kind of struck me that is one of my personal hard parts is just praying for somebody in public. You know, sometimes you can just tell when someone's having a rough day and you may not know what they're going through, but walking up and say, "Can I pray for you?" doesn't cost you anything, but could do everything for them. Another one was getting up to talk for 5 for 5 because I'm up here right now. And, you know, we just had this trip going, this group going to Honduras. Going on missions trips are another great way of really getting out of your comfort zone. And one of the reasons I think they're so great is because it takes you out of all of your comfort zones. You don't know the language. You don't know the culture. You're not with your, sometimes you're with some friends, but a lot of times you're with people you don't even know. So it forces you to rely on God, and I think if you ever have the opportunity, it's something you should really try out. So really to wrap this up, if whatever God's asking you to do is about your comfort zone, do it. And if he's asking you right now to do it, let's do it. So there it is.
Thank you. Great job. Man, I'm right on time, too. You can tell he's an IT person because he's got to get it going. Go. Yeah, the next one, we're going to have to wind up. We may give her an extra few minutes. Next, come on up, Miss Alma. Miss Alma Harlan is my girl's caller. She's granny to them. I told somebody the other back in Christmas, and Miss Alma and Mr. Ken had come by and see our girls, and they said, "Well, who's here?" And I said, "Well, it's their third grandma and grandpa." And I told them who it was, and I'm sorry, this is just funny. I just have to tell it. This lady, the lady I was talking to goes, "Well, they're black." And I said, "Yeah, last time I checked." How can they be grandma and grandpa? And I said, "Well, no, they're grandma and grandpa because they're just so good to our kids, and they've always, since the day we moved into Sylvania, watched after us." So when I heard Miss Alma's testimony of what she's about to share, this is months ago, I came to her and said, "You're going to do our 5 for 5. She said, "No, you're not." And I said, "At this time, I'm going to put on my pastor's hat, and that means I outrank you as grandma, and you're going to do this for us." So, because sometimes, you know, I think our testimony, we look over it like it's not important. It's like Andrew said, God really can't use it. But you've been places I haven't been. Miss Alma's been places that I haven't been. And you can identify with people in ways that I can't. And your testimony has power. And I believe the testimony you're about to hear will have great power in your life today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Miss Alma Harlan.
Good morning. And if it appears to you that I'm reading this, it's because I am. Because I had to kind of put it together so I could stay on track, because we could talk about this for days and days. But many of you may be aware that around the first of the year, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Of course, I was upset and concerned at the time. And then I remembered Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3, which tells us that one of the benefits we receive from God is that he's able to forgive us of our sins and heal all our diseases. Ken and I both prayed about the situation I was facing, and then after we prayed, I never really just prayed about it again. After praying, I just thanked God for healing me. And all through the day, as I would go about what I was doing, Philippians 4 and 6 says, which tells us to be anxious about nothing, but with prayer and thanksgiving, we should present our request to God. And all through the day, I would just speak over me, thank you, God, for giving me a cancer-free body. I mean, just several times, even as I would come in and Thomas would be saying stuff and I'd be telling him what to do, and I'm thinking, boy, I told you three times and talking out both sides of my mouth. Boy, didn't I tell you something? Thank you, God, for giving me a cancer-free body. So then on March 14th, I had the surgery and was told everything was fine. And then I had some concerns about some discomfort I was having because I thought, you know, I was so busy, they just take the mess out and I could just go on a couple of days. But no, that didn't happen. So I called the doctor and she asked me to come in. And after examining me, she told me everything was going fine and that everything was normal, what I was feeling. She also said that she'd receive a part of my test results back, and it was fine. There was nothing there. But she had other concerns because the main part, the mask, had not been diagnosed yet, and there were some concerns about it. When I returned later, 2 weeks after, for the final results, my doctor came in looking very surprised and startled because results showed absolutely no cancer. Thank God for that. And she could not understand because prior to my surgery, my biopsy showed several cancer cells were present. And so I just told her, she says, I don't know what happened. I says, I know what happened. And Ken was, you know, with me. And he told her, and she says, we've got people praying all over from California to Florida to New Jersey to Oklahoma, the church family, and we know what happened. So she was just standing there looking. And and then, you know, it came to me like Proverbs 3 and 5. Which says for us to tell God, came to my mind, that tells us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, which means that we should never rely on what we think we know. See, the doctors was relying on their medical science and what they had been taught in their textbooks and what she'd seen previously, and she had no understanding of what God could do when we serve him. And on the other hand, Ken and I was trusting in God. And in summary, I would just like to say to everyone, no matter what you're going through and how bad it looks and what has happened to somebody else or whatever, always remember that there is nothing too hard for God.
She didn't know I was going to do this. Stay right here. Stay right here. Why don't we? I know I got texts this morning. We got several people, one taken to the hospital with some discomfort and a couple sick and things going on. How many of you know somebody or you yourself just say, I could just use some healing today? All right. Hold your hands up. Okay, now look around you. Y'all look around. This is one time I'm telling you around. Find somebody with your hand up. If you got your hand up, put your hand on somebody else who's got their hand up. Find them real quick, and we're just going to reach over, and we're going to pray. The Bible says that when you gather the elders of the church and the elders are in the room, we're just going to pray. And I just believe that God will touch your body just the same way he did Miss Alma, that we confess you to be whole. So let's pray. Reach out and grab somebody. Father, in Jesus' name, Miss Alma and I put our faith together. The Word says that you're no respecter of persons. Father God, if you'll do it for her, you'll do it for everybody represented here today. Whether somebody's standing in proxy or somebody that actually needs the healing, Father. And I thank you that your word says, by the blood of Jesus, Father God, our bodies were made whole. Every sickness and disease that's not of you must leave in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father God, for the testimonies, just like Miss Alma, that today, Father God, at 10:56 a.m. on Sunday morning, Father God, all over the world, all right here in this room, healing manifested itself because, Father, you've paid the price that everybody that's hands raised that is in need of healing, they are whole, complete, and lacking nothing, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Give Miss Alma another hand. And she did it with a broke arm. Not bad. Well, whatever. Something's broke. She's got a cast on. All right. Our next one you know and love, and I love this guy. You can come on up, Wes. Last year, I asked him to do it, and he flat told me no. This year, I asked him to do it, and he told me no. And then I again said, I implore you, you're doing it. And I think sometimes, don't lurk behind me, you're bugging. Come on here. I think sometimes is when we have music pastors, and I do consider him, and he very much leads us spiritually in music. We may not call him pastor, but he is very much a pastoral role, that sometimes we kind of put him in a box, and we go, oh, there's the music guy. You know, he can play and sing, and he's pretty good at what he does, but he doesn't really bring us a word. You know, he's not real a real pastor. And so that's why this year I just felt like, and even probably, 2 weeks ago, he texts me and says, is there any way somebody else can do this? I've got school and this. And I said, no. I said, if you have to read a verse and then just tell people what you think about it, do it. Because I just want to, I believe that in him is the word of God and in him is a message that is for you guys today. So just know that I challenged him, that I pushed him, that and I just believe as he begins today again, there's a word for you in this. So let's give a big round of applause to Mr. Wesley Edwards.
All right. So just like Clint said, about 2 weeks ago, I said, Clint, I don't want to do this. And he said, too bad. So I'm here now, so that just shows who has the power in this relationship. So today I'm going to speak about purpose and God's purpose for our lives. I don't personally believe that my own personal credentials permits me the ability to speak about the purpose, but I do have one credential here that gives me the ability to speak God's purpose for our lives, so thankful for that. All right, so the ultimate purpose is simple. It's to worship, share the gospel, and to make make disciples, excuse me. That's it. If you'd like, here's three verses that wrap up the purpose of God in Scripture. It's Mark chapter 16, 15 through 18, I believe. A lot of you know it. Most of you have heard it if you've ever been to Sunday school. So it says, he said to them, go into all the world. This is Jesus before he ascends to heaven. He's speaking to his disciples. He says, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. I hate snakes, so that's a big one. Okay, so. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. The power of God. To reiterate my previous point, God's purpose is simple, to share the gospel and to make disciples. And as a result of belief in the power of God, you were given the ability to cast out demons, handle snakes, heal the sick, etc., etc. And here's the thing I'm saying today, is that too many Christians are missing out on this purpose and the power that God has for us to taste. Here are three reasons why. Number one is because we're not living according to the Holy Spirit. In other words, we can't get out of sin. I was talking with a good friend of mine, Jason Protzman, the other day, and I was asking him, I said, Jason, how does one at this age find the purpose of God in his life? Immediately, he said, get out of sin. And that convicted me. So if I can't conquer something as simple as sin, hint, hint, which Jesus already did, how am I supposed to effectively share the gospel? A couple of verses on sin. Romans 8, 12 through 13 says this. If we can find it. Here we are. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, the deeds of the body, you will live. Romans 6, earlier on in the book, says this. Romans 6, chapter 12 through 14 says, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness." My point is as simple as this. In order to pursue God's purpose for our lives, we must diligently pursue the fruits of the Spirit. We must consistently seek out God and what he has for us so that we can taste the power of God. My second point is this. Why are we missing out on the power of God? It's because of our lack of faith in the power of God. Let's look to Abraham for one of the greatest examples of faith. We're missing out on so much because of this. Where is it at? Here we go. Romans 4, 18 through 20 says this. It's Paul speaking about Abraham, and he says, "In hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God." Listen to that. "No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." You see, lack of faith is not going to lead us anywhere. Lack of faith isn't going to get us anything. It's logic that tells us that God is not powerful enough. It is logic that told Abraham he couldn't be a father, yet it was God who told Abraham that he would be the father of nations. We need to stop allowing logic to prevent us from tasting the power of God and what he has for our lives, the purpose he has for us, and that's to worship, to share the gospel, and to make disciples. It's as simple as that. We're missing out on it. A lot of us are missing out on it. There are some, okay? If Abraham had listened to logic, where would he be today? Where would we be today? My third point, why are so many of us missing out on the purpose of God? Number three is because we are not prepared. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "To always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." Points as simple as this. If we were to preach the word of God, we need to know the word of God. Be prepared. That's pretty much it. Overall, here's what I have. To fulfill the purpose of God, we need to be, one, living in the Spirit, providing no opportunity for sin to reign in our lives. Number two, putting our faith in the power of God, having a faith like Abraham's and Peter and Andrew's, who Andrew just discussed earlier. And number three, studying the Word of God daily, allowing no opportunity for Satan to lead others astray through our ignorance. Thank you.
Good job. You made it. See, I'm telling you, I got Melanie taking notes down here, but when we get to the end, we're going to tie this together. I promise you, you will have a five-point sermon and five different messages. I'm just telling you, it's coming. Now, our next speaker, I've known since she was, I don't know about that high, and when I asked her to come, she kind of gave me this deer in the headlight look. You can come on up, Aaron. This is Miss Erin Martin. I've known her for all her life as Miss Erin Lambert, so I had to make a special effort to now call her Miss Martin and not Miss Lambert. When I asked her to come up and share, she gave me that kind of deer in the headlights look. But I told her she was on my heart, and I don't remember what it was. It's something, a conversation we had, and she set something off in my heart, and I began to study it, and I actually used it in a message not too long ago. So, again, and then I thought, you know what? I need to let her share and just see what God has from her. So, without further ado, oh, let me say this too. Hold on. This is a big day for Erin. You remember a couple months ago, she just graduated with her nursing degree. And she said, you know, I got a big weekend that Sunday I'm speaking. I said, really? You know, I know it's 5 minutes, but it's not that long. She goes, no, I do 5 minutes. And she starts her first shift on her floor at East Georgia Regional Medical Center tonight. So it's a big day for her. So with that, here's a good word from Miss Erin Martin.
Thank you. My heart is pounding out of my chest. I don't know if this is appropriate to say in church, but I told Cameron, I said, this weekend my stomach is going to be messed up because this, and then I have to go to sleep tonight, or when I get home to get ready for tonight. But I wanted to tell a story really fast. I have 5 minutes, so just hold your breath because we're about to ride. I asked Cameron, my husband, the little cute one over there, if I could tell this story. But when we first started dating, well, all through our dating relationship, we would talk on the phone every night. And one night in particular, he called me, and he was really excited because he said, I just got done reading the Bible, and guess what? I found out about Noah. And so I'm thinking, you know, I can't wait. Like, I'm sure God just gave you a prophetic word in Greek that you're just about, I don't know, I was just really excited. And he was like, guess what the rainbow means? And so I'm like, well, I mean, everybody knows the rainbow is God's promise to never flood the earth again, so surely it can't be that. Because, I mean, I learned that when I was 4, so I figured everybody else did too. So he's like, it's God's promise to never flood the earth again. Isn't that the coolest thing? And immediately I'm frustrated because I'm like, how could you just know this? Like, you're 16. Like, you should have known this 12 years ago. So we talk on the phone, and I'm sure I crushed his little spirits, and I was nowhere near honoring. But so I go downstairs, and I talk to my mama, and I'm like, you know, Cameron just realized this. Like, this is frustrating. I want him to be up here, but he just found this out. And she immediately got all over me. She said, Aaron, she said, that's awesome that he could read that and, you know, just be so excited. She said, that's how we should be every time we open the Bible, whether you've heard it, you know, 15 times. Like, that's God's heart for us, is to read it and think, my God, you are so good. You are so big. And so then over the years, God's used that to teach me and humble me and just kind of convict me in areas that I needed help with. And so that I kind of started thinking, and a lot of us have heard the stories. You know, when we're young, we hear about Jonah and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Moses and Noah, and we think, God, like, you're so big, you're so good. But then we get older, and life happens, and, you know, maybe our marriage isn't where we thought it would be. Maybe, you know, those of us who have kids, maybe our kids aren't on the path they should be on. And then we get a little bit older, and then our parents, maybe they get sick, and just, you know, just crap happens. And people that we love and people that we know, they get sick, and things we're believing for and things we're fighting for, you know, people pass away. And then it's just like, God, but, you know, you were so good here. Like, you were so good with Jonah and Noah and Moses, and you were just like, where are you at, my God? And I just, and the things that I'm talking about are the things that I know we've all experienced in life at 2 a.m. when you can't sleep because you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you're just like, you know, the God that I thought I knew, like, I don't know where he's at. And I just believe that the heart of God is and always has been calling us back to the place of the first love. Like, come and come back to me, my son, my daughter, because I have you. I had you there, and I had you here, and I had you here. And I just believe that he wants us to just fall back in love with him the way we did the first time. But to do that, I think we have to know the character of our God. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to try to go fast. But we have to know the character of who he is, because it's in the valley that we need him. And so I'm just going to read something in 2 Samuel, and it's about David. When we think of David, we think of David and Goliath, and then we think, you know, just of these cool stories about David. But David maintained a relationship with God long before Goliath. David was walking with God, and I heard Sadie Robertson talk about this, and so I kind of wanted to talk about it. But he was maintaining a relationship with God. So when Goliath happened, and then in 2 Samuel, when, you know, he needed delivering from his enemies, he didn't just call on God out of a place of, God, hope you get me. Like, I hope that you can save me. No, but he called to God out of a place of, you had me here, and you had me here, so I'm going to be very specific because I know who you are, and I've walked with you, and you've walked with me. I've delighted in you. You've delighted in me, and we've got this thing. Like, you are my best friend. And so I just want to read really fast what he called out. And so it's 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. And horn means strength. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you save me. And so I'm going to go on down to verse 20. He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And as sons and daughters, and at 2 a.m. when we can't sleep because we just don't know how this is going to work, that God is delighting in us. And he says, my love, I have you. And that's awesome. And so one more verse, 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all those who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. And that's exciting. And so I just want to encourage y'all the same way that I've been encouraged. Just spend time with God. Because I look at my life, and I can go back to just different moments. And one moment in particular, and when I was 15, it was just a really dark time in my life. And I don't know, I just really needed God. And I just remember one night, I just laid my face in my Bible because I didn't even have enough strength to be like David was when he called out to remind himself of God's goodness. I didn't even have that strength. So I just laid my face in my Bible because I knew that there was power in the pages of that book. And I knew that the Bible is as God breathed. And if you don't have an experience, if you can't go back to experiences in your life where you're like, I don't really know. I've been doing pretty good so far. Like, I haven't really needed God. But, you know, maybe right now I do. He's not playing hide and seek with his bride. He loves us and he wants us. And the Bible stories are good. And I love, you know, hearing them and referring to them. I'm hurrying. but at the same time, I don't want Jonah's testimony to be my testimony. I want to walk with God. And every day that I get out of bed, I want to say, all right, God, it's just me and you, and I love you, and you got me. And so I just want, because the same God that was in Peter when Peter walked by somebody and his shadow touched someone and they were healed, that's the same God in me, and that's the same God in y'all. And so that's just awesome. And I don't want to get more excited about, I don't know, a cell at Free People than I do when I think about the goodness of my God. And so that's really all I have. So thank you.
Great job, Erin. Wouldn't you like to know that your nurse coming in has that much faith in her? Talk about it. I just believe that God puts you in places, and he put a nurse in her, and she thinks her job may be a nurse, but her purpose, I believe, is going to be to bring healing to people, and they won't even know it because God and her shadow are going to walk into a room and heal people. Amen? All right, where's Mr. Larry? I saved the best for loyal, not the best. I saved the... I don't know. I can't think of an adjective for him. Come on up. The last one, you know, we call him Crazy Larry for a reason. Oh, I almost anticipated that coming.
Years. Don't start the clock yet.
Yeah. I told him not to start until you start talking.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't break him. He's got a company to run. A while back, I asked Larry and... I've known Larry and his wife Renee for quite a while, and most of the time he leads with something funny. And I said, you know, I told him one day, I said, you know, I think your humor is refreshing, but you know, you always wrap it with something from God. He and his wife both. A few years back, we did a series. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we did a series called My Story, and we actually did video interviews where he and Renee. Sat down and gave their testimony, and it's another one. You're like, wow. And then I think they would even say, wow, there is a God because I'm standing here, because they would tell you I shouldn't be. So I want you to hear another great word from a guy I highly respect, and you're going to laugh because he's going to be silly and goofy, as you can already see. But give a big hand to Mr. Larry Rivers.
Microphone. Dangerous to give me a microphone. Don't start that clock yet. I didn't plan to do that. That's how God works. I want to ask you this morning, I got two questions for you. I'm going to begin it with the first question. Are you convinced? Are you convinced? Paul said, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, no present things nor future things, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I wanted to ask you this morning, are you convinced? Are there any events in your life that have convinced you that God is in your life and that he loves you? Should be the first one, if you're in Christ, is that he rescued you from death's row and you say, I wasn't on death's row. You die without Christ, you're dead. And the second thing for me was he sobered me up. I was a drunk. He sobered me up in August of 92. I came to a place where I said, God, I'm powerless over alcohol. My life has become unmanageable, and he rescued me. The third thing he did in my life was restore my marriage. You're looking at my second wife? That's also my first wife. He restored our marriage. And then he moved us to Stinking Rankin, Georgia, gave us a fresh start. I mean, that's got to be God. You go from Rockford, Illinois to Stinking Rankin, and then to Sylvania, the Bermuda Triangle of the South. Once you get in Sylvania, there ain't no getting out. We tried. And I forgot where I was going now. Anyhow, are there any people in the congregation who you know that are convinced? I thought about this, and the first guy I thought of was Cambo. That kid, he ain't a kid. He inspires me. Every time he gets up to speak or every time he baptizes one of the youth, Cam, you're an inspiration, man. He's on fire. He's like a gaper's block on I-95. You know what that is? That's when they got somebody pulled over for doing nothing, and the traffic is backed up for miles, and they just... That's how it is with Cam. The Bible says that if a man's on fire, we'll stand back and watch him burn. Brother, we're standing back and watching you burn. My other brother, who's not here today, is Gary Mills. Gary Mills has got the joy of the Lord. Have you ever seen that guy where he ain't grinning from ear to ear, smiling, laughing, and you just say, hey, Gary, he's like, I mean, he just can't help it. He's always got the joy of the Lord. And Mel Daniels. Mel is in constant contact with God. We can be talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, and then right after that, he's like, okay, Lord. Yes, Lord. And when he gets excited, only dogs and God can hear him. Because he goes, way up high. It's unbelievable. And my fourth one is my superhero, Dr. Charles. Dr. Charles, we ought to call him Captain Steadfast. Steadfast in the faith. He's immovable, unflappable, unstoppable. He has bailed me out time and time again. And he's what I call a humble hero. You know what a humble hero is? It's a hero where he hides his cape. You can't see his cape because he's so humble. I appreciate you, brother. I can't believe I got a minute and 14, 13, 12, 11, 10. So I wanted to put on my best TD. Hey, five more minutes. Hallelujah, there is a God. I wanted to do that verse again I can't even see it. Can you put it back up there? Oh, I was going to tell you about Paul. Paul being convinced. He's the one who wrote it. He started the chapter in verse 1. Therefore, you know what therefore stands for? It's a declaration. If you're in the King James Version, it means hearken your eareth to the trutheth. If you're from the South, hey, y'all better listen up. This is good right here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That's how he starts it out. Along in 28, he says, all things work out to the good, to those who are called according to his purpose and love God. And in 31, he says, if God is for you, who can be against you? That, no wonder he's convinced. No wonder he's convinced. So I ran out of time. I appreciate y'all. And my last question, are you convinced?
I told you he was wired. All right, I'm not improv, but watch this. You ready? Everybody got your notes? Andrew got up first, began to talk about God using people who aren't ready, began to talk about the fact that God uses people who surprise you. Jesus went and chose the disciples, and all of the disciples were considered the lesser of society. They weren't considered to be anybody of high reputation. Miss Alma came and started talking about her healing testimony. That God, she began to cry out, "Praise, oh my soul, and all that's been within me," about not being anxious. You see, God will heal you. He'll call you out of whatever you're in. Then he's going to heal you to get you in the position and in the readiness to do what he's asked you to do. He healed Miss Alma so she could continue to doing what God's had her to do. So he uses people who think they maybe shouldn't be used or aren't ready to be used. And he prepares them. He heals them up. Then Wesley came up and began to talk about purpose. God chose you. He healed you. And even in our own growth track, that's exactly what we teach. God's given you a what? A purpose. You weren't created just to fill some space, some void on the earth. You were created for a specific purpose. And our goal, our agenda here at Believers is to help you find out what that is. Then Miss Erin came up. And one line she said, I had Melanie write this down for me real quick. It says, never stop learning, but fall back in love. Never stop learning. God's called you no matter who you are, no matter where you are. He's healed you. He's restored you. He's given you a purpose and something to do. But the thing is, you can never stop learning. Even when you find that purpose, there's God's word. It's amazing to me how you can read a scripture 1,000 times and then one day the light comes on. Or somebody asked me one time, why do you continually to teach on whatever it is? And I tell people, I do it because I want to do it until you get it. Because you never know. I may do it, teach the same message 1,000 times, and then that 1,000th time, the light goes on. So never stop learning. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, he can use you. He's going to restore you. He's going to give you purpose. Never stop learning about God. Know his character. Know who he is. Well, I love what Aaron said. Don't let, while Noah and Moses and Jonah and all these people all had great testimonies and great stories, don't let their story be your story. Make a better story. And then the fifth one with Brother Larry Rivers. Are you convinced? Are you convinced that all that we just said is true? Are you convinced by what God's word says about you that you may not have been felt you were worth it, but you are? You may have been broken, but he healed you. You may have had no purpose, but he gave you a purpose. You kind of become cold and maybe indifferent to God. That you need to stop learning. Are you convinced that you need to continue to learn? And then lastly, Larry said this too. I love this. You notice he pointed out people who impacted his faith. And I say yes and amen to every one of those guys. But notice what he did. He didn't just say, it's me doing it by myself. He did what? He says, me doing it with a group of men. It's me doing it with a church body. Now here's the message. And I told you God was going to do this. Think about this. God's called a group of people who may not think they're worth it, who may not think they're capable, who live in a small town in South Georgia. As Larry put it, the Bermuda Triangle of the South. Right? He's taken the people who had issues. Anybody got issues? And he's healed them. He's begun to bring them back to a place where we can impact lives. He's given us purpose. We saw this purpose yesterday as we went out and mowed yards and loved on people. We see this purpose, as Andrew said, when we sent people to Honduras. We see this purpose as we do Project 216. We see this purpose as you go invite people, bring them to our services on Sunday, and they meet Jesus. We see our purpose as we reach out and are part of planting churches all over the world. He's given us purpose. We see this as doing it together, as even what Aaron said, as we sit in groups and we learn in groups. Our grow groups, well, I tell you, that's where life change happens. It happens in the midst of small groups. You can hear great messages on Sunday, but you want life change. It happens within a small group. I'm just telling you, God is weaving this together. That we can, and what Larry said is exactly true, that we do it together. That we are going to do this together as a church. We're going to do this. We're going to see God give us our purpose corporately, give us purpose individually. And I just love, I told you God would do this. He just wraps it all up and gives you a package. From, if you think about it, many, many different, 5 different walks of life, 5 different places in life, 5 different experiences to tell us that he believes in us and that we can do this. Amen? Amen. Anybody convinced? Anybody need more convincing? Why don't you do this? Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask the band to come back. Chuck, I'm going to switch over to my other mic. And I want to ask you this question. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes real quick? The first question I'm going to ask you is, do you know God? It's what Larry, everybody kind of said this, but knowing Him is the first step. If you're in this room this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed, it's just you and God. And you say, either I've walked away from God, or maybe you've never met Jesus. If that's you this morning, we always offer this opportunity. I never want to close the service without giving people an opportunity. But if that's you this morning, one of those two, you're coming back or you need to start this relationship new. Maybe you feel you're not worthy. You're in a place where God couldn't possibly use you. If that's you this morning, just wave your hand at me real quick. I just want to pray with you. All right. Several hands. There we go. Why don't we all pray this together? And those of you who raise your hand, just know that we're praying this with you, and we've been in the same place that you are. So let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life, my being. I surrender my past and my future to you, Lord. Forgive me for the sin of my life and everything that keeps me from you. And Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.